individuals who were able to join with us physically here in order to help provide a service for those that are live streaming, both Tracy for leading songs and our two elders for providing the prayers and the Lord's Supper. And we even have John in the back recording this on CD for any individual who may not have access to the live stream, or even if you do and you want a CD recording, so that way John can continue to provide that. So I think all the individuals who are doing that and all the ones that are in our live stream joining with us this morning. I heard a story a while back ago about a ship that was overtaken by a fearful storm. The sea was dangerous and the rudder had no power whatsoever against the water. And the wind was driving the ship oh so dangerously close to a rocky shore. An anchor was thrown out, but it did absolutely no good, and it had no hold. The steerman ended up forsaking the helm, and he began crying out, "Oh God, we are lost permanently. Have mercy on us, please." In a last desperate attempt to save their lives, they threw out another anchor, and at the last minute, it gave hold and saved them. All of them began crying out that were on the boat, saying, "Thank God he saved us. Thank God we are saved." The storm eventually passed and the ship reached their destination. When reciting this account, a preacher of a previous generation was quoted as saying, "O voyagers on life's sea, who know yourselves to be drifting dangerously close to the rocky shore. Who know yourselves to be drifting. Your only safety lies in fixing the anchor of your hope in the rock of ages." We never appreciate true security more than when we're living in perilous times. When our lives, our hopes, and our futures are threatened, it is a great relief to know that we have a shelter, that we have a safe haven to go to. Satan's forces are adept and are perfect at making us feel like we are lost and alone and shaking our peace and security. Those of us who are in Christ that put our confirmation in there, put our security in Christ, know that we have an anchor that holds true. However, those who lack a confident faith in God are easily captured by Satan's devices. When his attacks are aimed at our anchor of hope, we need to bolster our faith so that our security is renewed. Last week, I spoke about Habakkuk chapter 1, and this week, I want to go back to Habakkuk, but I want to look at chapter 2, the first couple of verses, because Habakkuk's faith had been shaken. The prophet's hope was wavering. The revelation that he had just received from God was that Judah was going to fall to the Babylonian Empire, and it was a hard blow for Habakkuk. These were the people he loved. These were the people he cared about. These were supposed to be God's chosen people, and yet God had said he was going to allow the Chaldeans, in some translations, but it means the Babylonians were going to come in and conquer them. The prophet had presented the argument to God that he should not allow the Babylonian Empire to invade. Babylonia was evil, was arrogant, and was treacherous. Habakkuk argued that the Lord God was too pure to allow a nation like that to punish Judah. As Habakkuk concluded his argument at the end of chapter 1, he sits down, or he stands up rather, and he says at the beginning part of chapter 2, where he says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." The prophet said that he would climb the rampart and wait for an answer. Habakkuk was waiting for God's explanation so that he could gain a new perspective on life, a new perspective on what was going to happen in Judah. And here Habakkuk, like he has previously, has continued to provide us with some amazing answers and lessons in life. Because we too, even right now, are in the midst of life storms. Daily trials are tossing us all over the place, and we have nowhere to turn, and we don't know who it is we're supposed to turn to. We need an anchor that will bring safety, a shelter that offers true security. Our text today will highlight some of the things that Habakkuk learned that we too can learn from him. First, we see that Habakkuk demonstrated unwavering faith in God. He said, as we just read, I will stand on my guard post or my rampart. I will hold firm. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Life doesn't seem fair sometimes. Life, sometimes, as the title of the lesson says, life gives us sour lemons. Habakkuk was probably asking himself a similar question that we all ask is, does it even pay at all? Does it even profit me at all to follow God right now? Others have questioned the appropriateness of following God's will. As the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 73, starting in verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength, is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing. Both Habakkuk and the psalmist faced problems. But the key thing is that Habakkuk and the psalmist did not give up faith. They did not give up hope. Both went to God when problems were prevailing and went to him looking for the proper perspective. They told God, I have sour lemons. What am I supposed to do with these? Only as we remain committed to God can we gain victory over our problems. Habakkuk was confident that God would answer him, and he was willing to wait. Waiting is crucial when Christians are about to be overcome by stress. We see in Psalm 5 and verse 3, where he says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. How are you at waiting? When your burdens seem to overwhelm you, do we confidently wait, knowing that God will respond in his own time? James admonished in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Many of us know this scripture by heart. We cite it all the time. But we're unaware, and we tend to cut out the condition given in the very next verse in which he says, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. There's a story about a woman who didn't believe in God, and a minister kept going to her all the time, trying to get her to come to Christ. And finally, one day she said, you believe that prayer can do anything, right? And he said, yes, I believe in the power of prayer. And she said, okay, every day this week, I am going to pray to God that that mountain over there is moved from the east over to the west, and come back to me on Saturday and we'll see what happens. So every day she prayed to God and prayed to God and prayed to God. And at the end of the week, she looked out of her window and saw the mountain where it always was and said, see, I knew God didn't answer prayers. She asked, even though it was a ridiculous prayer on her behalf, it was the idea that she was still asking in doubt. She had no confidence at all that God would answer her. She knew that that mountain was going to stay where it was no matter what she prayed. Those who need divine wisdom to explain life's nonsense must request wisdom in faith without any doubting. Once we take the problem to God, and this is the kicker for me a lot, once we take the problem to God, we need to follow Habakkuk's example. I will keep watch and I will see what happens. We need to give the problem to God and cease fretting and worrying about it. This is where I fail the majority of the time. When we are faced with a problem, we will pray to God about it. We'll say it's beyond our control. We'll tell God we're going to give it all to Him. Then we get up from our prayer and we still worry about it. We immediately begin worrying about it and telling ourselves, I've got to fix this problem. Instead of letting God fix it, we pray to God and say, God, fix it. Then say, well, you had your time. God, now I'm going to fix it. We need to follow Habakkuk because Habakkuk could not understand God's justice, but he refused to give up on God. He took the matter to God. He left it at the feet of God. He took these sour lemons that I keep referring to, gave them to God and said, God, do something with them. This is the only way that we can ever find true peace that surpasses all understanding, according to Ephesians chapter 4. The key here in our times that we're living in, where uncertainty is abounding and we don't know what's going to happen one day to the next, and people are wondering what they're going to do and how they're going to survive. No matter what is burdening you, we need to realize that we can never allow it to overwhelm us. Once we realize what the problem is and that we have no control over it, we need to allow God to take over. Life's stresses can be lightened when we possess a committed faith that God is able to resolve the problem. Paul's great confidence in God is summed up in his letter to the Ephesians, to the congregation in Ephesians 3:20, when he said, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us," he says, God is able to do abundantly. It is our faith in God that allows us to face the problems of today. It is our faith in God that allows us to overcome life's stresses. Paul and Silas faced beatings, stockings, abuse, stocks and abuse, and yet they were able to praise God in song. It says in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul was also plagued with physical illness, physical woes, and yet he said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake, for I am weak, then I am strong. These men had faith. These men had confidence in God that helped them to overcome anything that Satan had to offer and to put all of their problems to God. We need to develop a faith that says that God is able to respond to life's trials. Also, we need to keep diligent in our duties. Habakkuk's resolve was to continue at his post, even though he was surrounded with problems. He says, I will stand, I will keep watch, I will be faithful. Today, we share in a similar resolve. Even though we are pounded with problems, like I said, we need to continue. Our hope may be shaken. Our faith may be rattling. Doubts may arise. And it's so easy sometimes to think inwardly, to think, what are my problems? It's so easy to withdraw fellowship sometimes and say, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to focus on myself. It's so easy to forget about the others that are going through the same thing and to only focus on our inward problems. And yet 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we allow ourselves to withdraw inwardly and to withdraw our fellowship from one another in whatever avenue we have, then our problems will only compound upon itself. We are tired and we're distressed. And I understand that. We are tempted to withdraw. Yet when we are burdened with stress, we must not quit. We need to regain the proper perspective. When we continue to fellowship, when we continue to focus on God, when we continue to focus on each other, we realize just how small our problems may be sometimes. And instead of focusing on the problem, we focus on the solution. Instead of focusing on the problem, we focus on each other. Instead of how can I help myself, how can I help my neighbor? How can I help my brother or my sister in Christ? We need to regain the proper perspective as Habakkuk did by being active in the service to God. We shouldn't look at this as an opportunity to withdraw and focus inwardly, but instead we need to look at this and saying, I may not be able to do these things here, but what I can do is call up my neighbor. What I can do is meet the spiritual and physical needs of my brother or my sister in Christ. What I can do is open up my door, spiritually speaking, to anyone who is struggling that I might help them. What I can do is use this to show the beacon of light that is God to those who are in darkness right now. What I can do is provide an anchor to those who are on the sea, fearing that they're going to die, and we can help them throw that anchor that is God down so it will take hold. When life's pressures bring a heavy burden into our lives, it's easy to think that all is lost. However, what a great relief it is to go to God and to wait for His response. Because His Word, when we study it, gives us the answers we seek. There's a poem by an unknown author that says, He maketh no mistake. And it says, My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He does know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all on Him, because He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. Let us gain and possess the perspective that Habakkuk did whenever we are confronted with these problems. We need to be confident in our trust that God is able to answer any problems so that we can be confident and be anxious for nothing. Here we have a turning point for Habakkuk. Instead of the doubt that we see in the first chapter of Habakkuk, now we see slowly over the next few chapters, we see him gaining perspective with each and every dialogue he has with God. We see him gaining confidence and a hope of what God would be able to do. And we need to remember, as was once said, that there is no lemon so sour that we cannot make something that resembles lemonade. Today, I ask that we bring to God our problems. We bring to God our sour lemons, and we allow Him to make lemonade out of it. Instead of looking at this and how am I going to get through this, maybe we should look at it as how can I be the beacon of light from God today to those who need it? How can I strengthen others today? Whatever your need may be. If you're here, I ask that you, if you want, you can come forward, or through the comment section on the live stream, if you have anything you would like to discuss, I ask that you please do that as we sing.